Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all of our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out here taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip through the drive-thru or the walk-up window over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or Brewpolo over there in Tupelo. And if you don't live near those two cities, well, you can still make it really easy on yourself. Just go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com and order it to be shipped right to your door. Whatever kind of coffee machine you've got sitting on the counter, there's a Strange Brew coffee for you, including the new K-Cup. So if you're a Keurig owner, man, they've got you taken care of with all the great flavors you love of Strange Brew coffee brewed right in your house. New year, new gear. That's the motto for College Corner. When you're looking for brand new maroon and white merchandise, College Corner needs to be the place you shop. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. They're in Flowood by the Half Shell. Or you can always shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Whatever it is you're looking for, maroon and white, for your home, for your car, or for yourself, they've got it at College Corner. Humble Tacos, Starkville's newest and best Mexican restaurant. Mexican fare with Mississippi roots. Hope you didn't miss Taco Tuesday or Wing Wednesday at Humble Taco. They've always got great specials going. This weekend, they'll have their weekend brunch, which is different than anything in town. That's true about Humble Taco, though. They're just different. It's not your typical Mexican restaurant. You're not going in there for, you know, the number 43 with rice and beans. You're going in there for some stuff you've never had before, and you can't get anywhere else. It's a great time. It's unique, and something very special to us here in Starkville. We're very proud to have them here. And you know, with Ty Tibbs is cooking behind the stove, the food's always going to be good. So check them out, Humble Taco. When you're looking for a quick and easy lunch that's also really good, Firehouse Subs is probably the way you want to go. Locations to serve you in Starkville, Columbus, Tupelo, Oxford, Madison, and Flowood. These are all great locations for you. Very easy to get to and very easy to pick up your lunch. Just download the Firehouse Subs app, place your order. It'll be ready when you get there, and you will pile up the reward points, and you'll be eating free sandwiches quicker than you know. So you're looking for lunch today. I can't stress it enough. Head over to Firehouse Subs. Robbie Falk.
That was an ordeal.
I've had a few of those today. I got to be honest, I thought late Tuesday night I was going to have to come up here and record a little bit more on that podcast. For a moment there, I was like, well, future Brian's going to have to do a little work.
You knew it was going to be too good to be true, though.
I thought when, and you know, obviously we're talking about Mississippi State, Kentucky, the possession in overtime where Jeffries ball fakes, gets the guy off his feet, gets the open look, and fires. I was like, if that goes in, they're going to win this game. And it did not go in. And from there, Kentucky was able to sort of push out and take control of the game. You know, obviously some things you take away from that game. I think it's a different game, obviously, if Tolu Smith could play. I don't think there's any containing, you know, whether you can't stop him, you can only hope to contain him with Shwebwe. That guy is a monster.
Yeah, he is.
I misspoke I guess it's on Tuesday's podcast where I said they don't have that kind of guy, like a Cat or an Anthony. Yes, they do.
He's one.
He is that guy.
Did this guy come from? I know he's from West Virginia, right?
He's a monster.
I don't know how.
He looks 38, by the way.
How did West Virginia get him?
I don't know. That guy is a more physical Julius Randle.
Yeah,
would you? I don't know that he has the same offensive, like
he didn't have the skill set maybe offensively,
but
there's not many people that I've seen that can rebound.
You're grabbing 20 and 20. I mean, nobody cares.
And he really kind of took over the game there late with the back to back scores that he had, and that was that in overtime?
Mm-hmm.
Or okay, I thought that was big. He had the dunk and then the reverse layup 3-point play.
But at the same time,
that might have been regulation.
That wasn't regulation, yeah.
So State kind of overcame that, but still that was big because they were kind of teetering.
Him coming back into the game was a big moment for Kentucky. But you have to feel, and I don't feel like it's making an excuse. You have to feel like that could have played out differently with Tolu Smith, who's a more physical presence, who could have worked him down low a little bit and maybe kept him off the boards a touch. I thought, you know, considering that State lost this game for sure. They missed too many free throws. They missed too many looks at the rim. They allowed themselves to get into a 15, 16-point hole, and they were able to dig out of it. But, you know, and that's two games in a row like that, Robbie, where they didn't play well in the first half against Ole Miss. The difference is Ole Miss isn't Kentucky. Ole Miss wasn't good enough to take care of the situation. But then State, in these last two second halves, are maybe the best basketball State's played all year. If they can find a way to play like that in the first half, you feel really good. I get, and a lot of people were hitting me up on Twitter when I said something about this, and I understand they're saying, you know, this is year seven. We shouldn't be talking about moral victories in year seven. I get that. I'm not going the moral victory route. What I am saying is, what I saw Tuesday night leads me to believe that what I said that needs to happen in these next games, State needs to get two or three more wins, could very easily happen. That team, the way they played, especially if they can get Tolu back relatively quickly, they have an opportunity to win some games. Alabama lost to Georgia.
Yeah,
that game looks very winnable.
They look very good right now.
You can beat South Carolina. You can beat Arkansas. You can beat LSU. Maybe you can get Tennessee at home. I don't know about this weekend, especially if Tolu's still out. But I feel a lot better about Mississippi State's tournament chances than I did 24 hours ago before that Kentucky game was played.
Yeah, just it showed a lot of grit and determination by the team to overcome what was really a bad first half offensively for them. At one point, I think they were 4-for-20 shooting. It was not a good first half. They were missing free throws. They were missing layups. It was a real struggle. But, you know, there were so many people talking about how, you know, State had played so bad, but it was only like a, you know, 11, 12-point game. At one point, they kept hanging around. Yeah. They didn't let Kentucky really push that out.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things I mentioned when we previewed. Just stay in the fight. Mm-hmm. Stay within striking distance. And they did what I thought they could do with about 5-6 minutes left. That lead started to trickle down to 6 points, 4 points. And eventually, they got to where they tied the ball game up and had a chance there down the stretch. I thought they had the momentum going into overtime that they had a shot. But the big possession was the three-pointer that Grady hit. State comes down, misses a three, mm-hmm. and then he comes down and hits another one.
That was
the ball
ended,
game.
Yeah.
That was the ball game.
Tied to up six.
Yep. And they missed two three-pointers on that possession. Cam Matthews missed mm-hmm. one, and then DJ Jeffries. I don't think you want either one of those guys shooting a whole lot of threes.
Especially when Iverson Molinar is playing the way he's playing. 30 points last night. His best game of the year.
But those were decent looks. I mean, I can't be upset about that. But what is going on with DJ Jeffries?
Just so inconsistent, man.
I mean, I thought he had a pretty good game against Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
But that was kind of the anomaly here in the stretch.
You can't string games together.
So, okay, tail end of the non-conference slate. He had 15 points, 14, and 19.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had 10 against Arkansas, 13 against Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, 7, 5, 4, 11 against Ole Miss, 5 last night.
Yeah.
5 points in 33 minutes, and he was 1-for-6. And 1-for-4 from 3. He's now shooting 32% from 3-point range. And has not been good in conference play from deep. They need him to find it. Because, I mean, what did we talk about the other day? There's got to be some other guys step up beyond Iverson. I think Garrison had maybe 11 points, and I believe that was the only other person in double figures last night.
Mm-hmm.
They just, I mean, 30 points, it was Iverson Molinar versus Shibway in the second half. Iverson laid everything he could on the court, and I thought there were some other good performances too. I thought Shaquille Moore had a good game as well. I thought Garrison Brooks was okay.
Here's the stat.
But nobody else was really stepping up. They got to have more.
And this is courtesy of our friend Theo DeRosa. Molinar was 13 of 20 from the field. Incredible night for him.
Yeah.
The rest of the starters were 9 for 30.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have that.
That
can't be. It's amazing that State was able to have a chance in that ball game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Kentucky wasn't just incredible, but Tshiebwe had a game for the ages. I mean, 20.
Well, you say that. That's like his sixth 20-rebound game this season.
It's hard to overcome somebody having over 20 rebounds and over 20 points, too, did he not?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a 20-20 game. That's very difficult to overcome. Mm-hmm. But State was in position. They had a chance. They just, like so many Kentucky games over the years, Mississippi State is right there in position and they can't win. Yeah. Last year was kind of the exception to the rule when they beat them in the SEC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, State just, for whatever reason, they can't consistently get over the hump against Kentucky,
yeah,
and especially at Rupp Arena.
So let's look at the net. State moves up to 44 after the loss last night. This is their upcoming schedule. Texas Tech is 15th. Then you have Arkansas sitting at 52. Let me find South Carolina here. They're going to be the ones that are down.
They're going to be pretty far down.
They're at 107. Then you have Tennessee, who I believe is in the top 20 as well. Yeah, Tennessee is 11th. LSU is 10th. Alabama is 25th. They dropped 3 spots last night after. That's a bad loss to Georgia. I'm surprised they didn't drop a little further than that.
And they almost lost to Missouri, which would have been a season sweep.
Would have been their second loss, yeah.
Yeah, they're not playing well.
There are a lot of opportunities, though, here for Mississippi State. A lot. They just need to grab a couple of them. They have to beat South Carolina.
You can't
lose that one.
Here's what you have to do. You have to beat these teams that are ranked in the hundreds in the net.
Mm-hmm.
You have to beat Missouri. I feel like you have to win both of those games. And that's going to be tough to do, but I feel like if you want to get in the NCAA tournament, you have to win both of those games.
Mm-hmm.
You have to beat South Carolina. And then beyond that, I mean, the rest of them are just really good opportunities for Mississippi State. You got Tennessee, you got Auburn, you got LSU, you got Alabama. These games are opportunities to start making that move. You got to start making up ground somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have these games. It was a great ball game, and I feel like that loss helped Mississippi State.
They should have gained some confidence.
And I think also that's going to help the committee say, hey, this team was without Tolu Smith. He's mm-hmm. been in and out of the lineup. They went to Rupp Arena against a really good Kentucky team and took them to the wire.
Yeah.
I think the committee will see that. I think that was a eye-opening ball game. I saw several national people and regional SEC writers mention last night Mississippi State is a tournament team.
Yeah,
they have the look of a tournament team, but you can't win 14 games and make the NCAA tournament.
Right.
You can't win 18 games and make the NCAA tournament. At some point, you've got to start building that resume. And they're going to have to start making up a couple of these losses here down the line. Time's running out. I mean, you're going to have to win some games on the road against good teams. You have to win some games at home against good teams. And you cannot falter down the stretch. You cannot lose to these teams that are really bad.
The loss to Ole Miss is just killing
State. That's a killer.
Right? It's just killing
State. That's a killer.
That and, you know, the Colorado State game, having the lead most of that game and then giving it away. I mean, that would be a great win for Mississippi State right now. They would be in the 30s.
Louisville's killing them. Yeah. Louisville's killing them because Louisville's
not
awful
any
right
good.
Now. Colorado Minnesota. State, Minnesota. These are games that we said when they happened, mm-hmm. those were big losses.
There's just no such thing. You know, baseball is a sport where, you know, every game, you don't have to live and die every game, right? And football, you certainly have to live and die every game. Basketball is kind of that way, too. I know that, you know, there's a lot more games, but every game is important. You know, they add up, and losing those 3 games in the non-conference the way they did hurt Mississippi State. Losing to Ole Miss hurt Mississippi State, and now with Florida, when you look at the latest bracketology, which Joe Lunardi, released as we're recording 2 minutes ago, State's in the first 4 out with Arkansas, who they're going to play in just a couple of days, and then Florida is in the last 4 in. You would be able to flip-flop. I think I don't even know that you would flip-flop. State was sort of, I think, comfortably in when they lost to Florida. Or, I mean, not comfortably in, but they were in that last 4 buys kind of situation. Now, I mean, losing to Florida has cost you a spot. So, yep.
And I thought when that game was played, the winner of that game would have the upper hand at least for a couple of weeks in the NCAA tournament projections. But Florida, that was a bad loss against Ole Miss. And, you know, they're kind of in the same spot as Mississippi State. Really, they're just getting the edge right now because they won the head-to-head.
Right, right.
But State has plenty of opportunities here. I think they're in a solid spot as far as the net's concerned. They just have to win games. I mean, I don't think that they're really at a major disadvantage here, because you look at the schedule and you see so many opportunities. I think that's how you need to look at this. You need to look at it not as, you know, doom and gloom that Mississippi State has no chance. I think you look at it as an opportunity yeah. because I think that we've seen that this team is very capable of being an NCAA tournament team, going on the road, getting big wins and things like that. The pieces are in place. They need Tolu Smith back healthy. They need to get everybody on the same page, and they need other players to step up and rise to the occasion here, and they've got a shot. And they've got a shot to make a major move over the next month and a half here. But it's got to happen. They've got to go take those games.
One thing that's going to hurt – well, maybe not hurt State, but when they get out of this stretch, the next four games, they have to win them all somehow. And that's, you know, that's Missouri, who's currently sitting at 156.
Yeah,
you got to beat them twice,
and that team is a tricky team.
Yeah, I mean they beat Alabama.
They took Auburn to the limit
by one last night. I mean, you got to beat them. Then you have South Carolina again. We already said 107, and then you have Vanderbilt 89. You have to win those games.
Yeah.
Now the good news is this: let's say you do that, and then you get the couple wins, the three wins we're talking about in this stretch, right? You're 20-9.
Yeah.
You could split your last two, which are Auburn and Texas A&M, and you're 21-10, you're probably in. You might need one win in the SEC tournament, but you're probably in at 21-10. But, again, you're going to have a four-game stretch where you have to go 4-0.
Yeah.
A loss in any one of those games might be enough to knock you out for good.
I think the committee can really help Mississippi State down the stretch, too, saying – you know, Tolu Smith was out.
Yeah.
They were missing one of their best players.
That's going to get brought up, for sure.
Yeah. Rocket Watts was out for a good portion. They haven't really had their whole team together all year. You know, they went to Kentucky, played really well. If they can go to Texas Tech and play really well, that'll go a long way, too. I think the eye test that always comes up, I think that could be a factor in the end. So I wouldn't just look completely at the net and all that. I think that the human element could factor in Mississippi State's favor too. Mm-hmm. But they've got to do their part. They've got to pull their own weight here. And I think that I have a feeling that they will.
If they play like they played last night in the second half, if they could put a complete game together, they're going to be fine.
Yeah. They really need like a DJ Jeffries and Garrison Brooks got to be more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
These guys have got to be better.
That's what they were brought in for.
Yeah, I mean, they need these guys to be much better.
Especially Jeffries is the guy who you brought in hoping he would give you more of a three-point. I mean, you brought him in to hit that shot.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, open look from the wing, that should be a shot he makes.
He just didn't do it. You thought that Deontay Allen was going to go off last night, didn't you? Just like
Deontay
I did.
Allen? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, when he got those 5 points in the first half, I was like, "Here we go,
here we go again."
I tweeted something about it, and then
it's unbelievable, man.
Yeah,
I'm surprised he didn't play more. I don't think he hardly plays at all. But I think they were just like, "Well, let's see what he can do."
See what he can do, and he scored. It's like just keep feeding him. Oh wow! All right, let's move on into the second half of the show. That's brought to you by our good friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef is what's for dinner. This year right now, it's cold outside. I tell you right now, when you head over to the grocery store, you should be thinking chili, beef stew, maybe a big pot of spaghetti. Those are things where beef is the key ingredient. And if you're looking for great recipes to keep your family happy, well, they've got them at msbeef.org. Remember, when you shop for beef, you're not only making your family a great, nutritious, and delicious meal, but you're helping 15,000 of your fellow Mississippians who are our beef producers. So check that out. Next time you're at the grocery store, load up on beef. It's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. That's the place to find smoked Southern soul food. It's not just barbecue. It's not Two Brothers Barbecue. It's Two Brothers Smoked Meats. And they turn those great meats into a lot more than just your typical barbecue restaurant fare. People say it all the time, Brian, where should I come eat when I'm in Starkville? Two Brothers is always one of my first suggestions. I'm suggesting it to you as well. Next time you're in Starville, make sure you make a trip over to the Cotton District and grab some smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. They can't make it any easier for you at Advantage Business Systems. They're going to give you great products and great service. And I know almost everybody does that, but it's a little different at Advantage Business Systems. It's a complete and comprehensive list of the products your business needs. Copiers, printers, computers, software, information and mailing systems, whatever it is, they've got it at Advantage Business Systems, all the top brands and names. And then when the sale is made, it's not just, okay, here's our 1-800 number, and you call them, and you get in line, and you know we can maybe probably get out to you in like a week or so to fix your problem. No. You're calling a local number. You're talking to a person here in Mississippi, and they're going to solve that problem for you ASAP. That's the kind of service you get with Advantage Business Systems, like you were dealing with your next door neighbor. Call them today and find out how they can help you. That number is 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Robbie, you got to break the news on, I guess it was Tuesday, that Rakia Jackson was going to be leaving Mississippi State University, a mid-season departure. And in really, in my opinion, that's like the final nail, the final chapter of the Vic Schaefer story. Vic Schaefer, the only player he has left on the roster is Maya Taylor. All of the former talented players he had are gone. It's a completely new era of women's basketball at Mississippi State. And it's not the same as it was, and I don't know that it'll ever be the same again. So sort of talk us through what's happened here over the past couple weeks.
It's been one bad news story after another for Mississippi State since April 2020 or whenever it was that Vic left. And I mentioned yesterday, I don't think that one person is to blame or one thing is to blame. I think there's a lot of contributing factors that have allowed these dominoes to fall in such a bad way for Mississippi State. And it's really just, it's kind of amazing to watch in a bad way. It's like, you know, watching a train wreck live. Like I don't think I've ever experienced anything like it, to be honest with you. I mean, LSU football has had some pretty extreme ups and downs, but I don't think it's even comparable to what's happening in Mississippi State women's basketball right now. You went from a two-time SEC championship team, SEC tournament champion, championship game participant for like five straight years, and then you're probably going to be Sweet 16 or Elite 8 team the year that the COVID cancellations hit, to a year later, you don't make the NCAA tournament, and a year after that, the entire roster from 2 years prior is gone with the exception of one person. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's been pretty incredible how fast this thing's fallen for Mississippi State. But, there were a lot of people that called out Rakia Jackson, said she was quitting on the team and things like that. And I can say with 100% certainty that is not the case. I believe that it is a true statement that she didn't have a choice but to leave Mississippi State, which it has been building, I believe, for the last couple of weeks. There's been a lot of tension that even Doug Novak has spoken about within the locker room. There was a really volatile situation at the Ole Miss game between Rakia and a player that I think really kind of set a lot of this in motion, and it bowled over at the Arkansas game after the game, and I think that was kind of the last straw for Mississippi State, and they decided that they can no longer move forward with Rakia. And I think it's really unfortunate that things have played out that way, but there's been a lot of moving parts the last couple years for these players, for the coaches, and I think it's just it hasn't been a good mixture of things over the last couple of years, and it's allowed things to really deteriorate quickly.
Yeah, it's funny. I asked you a couple. We did a show, I think, after not the Georgia game, but a game that they won. I don't remember. Maybe it was the Georgia game. But I asked you sort of like, what do you project this team looking like next season? And you were totally noncommittal. You're like, I just can't. I mean, and this is sort of why. I mean, the things – things just keep changing with this program. Do you feel like now that Rakia is gone, that as it's as stable as it can be, or is there going to be more to come?
That's a good question, because you know, I know there's a lot of players, or some of the players are really good friends with Rakia, I know, and I don't know what they're thinking about all this. I do know that State played really well in those two ball games without Rakia, and I'm not blaming her for what happened after that, because I don't know what all went in to all that. So, but if you can recapture what you were doing against Alabama and Vanderbilt, two teams that are not very good, but you were still shorthanded and you played probably your best basketball. If you can recapture that, I think that you can win a couple of games here down the stretch and maybe keep things where they are heading in the next year. But there's so many things that I can't predict over the next 6 months to really gauge where this program is headed. I mean, is there a light at the end of the tunnel? Or are you still free-falling for another few weeks here? You know, what's going to happen with the coaching hire? Who is he or she going to bring in as far as recruiting is concerned? I mean, State's going to have to build an entirely new roster out of the transfer portal. I mean, I would suggest probably 9 or 10 players are going to have to come out of the transfer portal, you would think. And so that's, I mean, I don't know what to expect. Is Jessica Carter going to be back? Are the Hayes sisters going to be back? Who knows?
Yeah. Is this job attractive to a new coach?
I think it's significantly less attractive than it was when Vic Schaefer left.
Well, yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, I don't know how many people wanted to follow Vic Schaefer.
Mm-hmm.
It's so difficult to follow a legendary head coach. It almost always goes badly, or at least you see a significant drop-off. You very rarely do you see somebody follow the greatest coach in the school's history and have the same amount of success or more.
Right.
You very rarely see that.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's kind of what we've seen here is there's a big drop-off after what Vic Schaefer was doing. But, you know, I said last year, and I still believe this to be true, I think Vic Schaefer could look at this roster and realize he got away from what he was doing that was making him really successful at Mississippi State. I don't think that they had the type of players mentally and physically and, you know, the style of play that he liked to play that he had been recruiting previously. His recruiting classes were better. They were ranked higher. There were 5-star recruits, high 4-star recruits coming in that he didn't have previously, but those weren't the same players that he built his program with.
Right.
There was no Morgan William. There was no Dominic Dillingham, Brianna Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a Victoria Vivian.
And we talked about that a little bit sort of off the air yesterday, that you don't realize how lucky you are to have a player like Victoria Vivian, who is super talented, but also a hard worker.
Yeah.
You know, so many times when you have these super talented players, they've just gotten by on talent for so hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't have that same work ethic. But Victoria Vivian's, on top of being an incredibly talented player, was a grinder on top of that.
Tierra McCallum,
same way.
And I'm not saying these players don't grind it out and practice hard or anything like that, but the style of play from these players in the last two years, all these players that have transferred out, these players that are currently on the roster, there's not a whole lot of players like a Dominic Dillingham or a Madison Hayes or a Morgan William, Katara Chapel, players like that. There's not that many players on these last two rosters that fit that mold. And I think that is a contributing factor to the roster becoming and the Mississippi State's team becoming what it is. Danae Carter, I think, would have been a perfect fit for Vic Schaefer.
Mm.
I think she fits that mold.
Mm.
But there's not a whole lot of players that you recruited that led you to SEC championships and things like that. I mean, Andrew Howard even was a player that we get down and defend and play hard for you for for two halves. And I just don't – I haven't seen enough of that the last 2 years.
When we look 5 years from now, I don't think – I think the days of Mississippi State being a top five program the way they were, that's probably not happening. But can State get back to being just a consistent NCAA tournament program in the next 5 years, you think? Or is
Yeah, I mean, with the right hire, you can do anything. I mean, if you make the right coaching hire here, it's been proven that you can win big at Mississippi State. If they hire the right person, and if that person comes in and gets some really good transfer portal players, I mean, with the transfer portal being what it is now, you can turn a roster over immediately and have an NCAA tournament team or SEC championship team. If you get, look at LSU. Look what Kim Mulkey's doing. Yeah. That team was not good last year. And Kim Mulkey has come in, and they're going to finish in the top half of the league in 1 year. Now, I don't think Mississippi State is going to get a Kim Mulkey, but maybe you can get an up-and-coming, mid-major coach that comes in here and changes the roster and gives you an NCAA tournament team in year one. I don't know, but in women's basketball, I think it would be a lot easier for Mississippi State to turn it around quickly than other sports.
Is there a scenario where Cohen says, you know what, when this program was at its best, that was a point of pride, and it's not a moneymaker by any stretch of the imagination, but we want to get back to that quickly. Is there a scenario where he just throws an obscene amount of money, for women's basketball anyway, at an elite coach?
I don't think so.
So you think it'll be some like a mid-major coach?
Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna pour a lot of money into this program, like they were. Mm. But I could be proven wrong on that. But if you do want an elite coach, I think you can go get one if you have the right price tag. If you're willing to pay money for that, you can. But and I know people. I know this is upsetting for a lot of people, but you do have to make that decision. Whether or not you want to start pouring a lot of money and watching it just, I don't want to say thrown in the trash can, but you are throwing a lot of money away when you do that. And that's, I'm not trying to diminish this program, but that's just the facts. This program is going to eat up a lot of money when you start paying coaches over $2 million. I mean, South Carolina's losing money. Louisville's losing money. I'm sure UConn's losing money. Just about everybody loses money in women's basketball. You don't make money in it. And Mississippi State was losing money. They were losing millions of dollars when Vic Schaefer was here. So you have to make that decision. Do you want to lose money in a sport like that just so you might win? You have to make that decision because there's not a whole lot of money being spent on ticket sales. There's not a whole lot of money being spent by boosters. So, you've got to make a decision, and I think that's what John Cohen has kind of molded over the last couple of years.
We'll see where it takes us. Very interesting stuff. And, of course, there's still a season, a few games left in the season to be played. So,
yeah,
we'll see where it goes. Doug Novak, poor guy. Could not have been – just thought he was going to come here, sit on the bench, draw up a few plays for Nicky McRae-Penson, and now he's got the headache of running this program, which is – slowly but surely sort of slip away a little bit. So, oh well. All right, tomorrow's show, I will preview Mississippi State versus Texas Tech. We'll go into some detail there and give you a look at the Red Raiders. We'll talk some baseball tomorrow with Teddy Cahill of Baseball America and maybe some other stuff as well. You guys have a great Thursday. Back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.